This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Settling in a new city can raise lots of questions. How does the bus service work? Can I join the local library? Where do I go to get advice on renting a home? Over the next half hour, the team from Citizens Advice Bureau bring you all the latest news and information of special interest to new migrants settling in Dunedin. Welcome to Resettling in Aotearoa with Citizens Advice Bureau.
Kia ora koutou, nō mai anō. Welcome to Citizens Advice Bureau O Te Poti Dunedin monthly resettling in Aotearoa show. Ko ena hou. I'm the manager at Citizens Advice here in Dunedin. Just a bit of a background. Our core service is really to help you know, understand and exercise your rights under the law here in New Zealand, how to resolve your issues, and give you advice and information about absolutely anything, actually. And our help and advice is free, independent, and confidential. So carrying on from our episode last month, where we discussed dog and cat ownership and the responsibilities around those pets, this evening we're going to give you a bit more information about animal welfare, dogs on buses, finding... a dog maybe in a locked car, pet remains, wandering livestock, and rules around keeping chickens and bees. So firstly, I guess sometimes you might find or you might think a dog in your neighbourhood is not being looked after properly. So all cruelty reports about companion pets should be made by phone actually to the Dunedin SPCA. And their phone number is 473-8252. Or if it's for anything else like cattle, sheep, chickens, you should call the Ministry for Primary Industries. That's MPI. And they've got an 0800 number, 0800-008-333. So you should call either of those if you think someone has failed to provide an animal with adequate food, water and shelter, or if someone has deliberately abused an animal, or if someone has failed to seek the necessary vet advice for a sick animal. The Animal Welfare Act actually details what a person's legal obligations are when dealing with animals, and that's whether they're pets or working animals on a farm or, agricultural livestock. And you can read the Ministry of Primary Industries Animal Welfare Codes of Welfare on their website, which is www.mpi.govt.nz. So leaving animals alone in a vehicle is dangerous, especially on a sunny day when the temperature inside a car can increase really quickly to be several degrees higher than outside the car. What can you do? You could go to the nearest business, actually, by the car park, where the car's parked, and ask them if they'll make an emergency announcement, asking the owner to return to their vehicle. If you can't locate the owner of the vehicle, or you are the vehicle owner and have locked yourself out of your car accidentally, you can call the AA, the Automobile Association, on 0800 500 222, or it's just star 222 from mobile phones. Or the police on 111 or the SPCA. Again, that number is 473-8252. It's actually, they advise you that you shouldn't break into the car yourself because you could put the animal at risk. And so, like I said, leaving a dog in a hot car is probably the most common thing. It's also unlawful and dangerous. It's a breach of the Animal Welfare Care and Procedures Regulations to leave a dog in a hot car or other vehicle. The dog owner can get a $300 infringement fee. If the dog owner does not own the car owner can also get an infringement fee, and other pet owners also have to meet their obligations under the Animal Welfare Act 1999. And signs of heat stress include, if the animal in the car is seeking shade, like hiding down on the foot of the car, the floor, or anywhere in the shade, excessive panting or drooling or hyperventilation, and also obviously if the animal's unresponsive. Animals can suffer from real severe complications, including death if they're left in a hot car on their own. So also you might wonder about whether you're allowed animals on the buses here in Ōtīkoti, Dunedin. So disability assist dogs can travel for free on all bus at any time of the day when accompanied by their disabled handler or someone involved with their training. This is specified under the Dog Control Act 1996. Customers are expected to give up priority seats if asked by the assistant dog's handler. And assistant dogs must sit on the floor beside you or under your seat, not on a seat or on your lap. And assistant dogs are not required to be in pet carriers like domestic pets. So, domestic pets such as dogs are allowed to travel free on all bus, except they can only travel during off-peak times. And the off-peak times are weekdays 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. and after 6:30 p.m. and weekends and public holidays. And domestic pets must be fully enclosed in a suitable pet carrier, not just a bag or a backpack. And the carrier must be on the passenger's lap to avoid being a tripping hazard. When you're travelling with your pet and you see a disability assist dog, like a guide dog, entering the bus, you have to please move your pet away from the disability assist dog. This is so that the disability assist dog can get settled without added distraction. Other things to be aware of, like I said, domestic pets and their owners, like everyone else, must give up priority seating to those who need it, including those with a disability, the elderly, caregivers with prams or small children and pregnant mothers. Your pet is your responsibility, including getting on and off the bus. If the vehicle is crowded, a driver may ask you to wait for the next service. If your pet disrupts other customers, you may be asked to get off at the next stop. You have to please keep your dogs on a lead at bus stops prior to getting into the carrier and boarding. And passengers are solely responsible for ensuring that their pet is safe and secured on the bus. The bus operator nor the regional council accepts any responsibility whatsoever for any distress or any hurt, physical hurt to your pet while on the bus. So another question that might arise is, or you might wonder about, is what you can do with the remains of a deceased pet. So it's obviously not unusual to want to have a nice send-off for your deceased pet, as they would have been, you know, being a loved part of your family. So the rules on disposing of pet remains bodies are obviously not as strict as those for people. And most people are likely to just bury their pet in their backyard. And there's no law against doing that. It's cheaper than a professional burial or cremation. But if you plan to bury your deceased pet at home, you just need to be aware of a few things. Obviously, check that there's no water pipes or drainage or anything in the burial spot before you start digging, or gas lines. Avoid burying the water near a water source so it doesn't contaminate the water source. And bury the body at least 1 meter deep so that stops other animals, or should reduce the risk of other animals digging it up. You can also get a professional burial or cremation. You can have your pet buried in a specialist pet cemetery, or have them cremated at a pet crematorium. An advantage of, you know, getting a professional to do it is it helps avoid the risk of environmental contamination or disease with a backyard burial. And your vet's probably the best person to talk to, because they'll have up-to-date information about pet cremations here in Dunedin, and all specialist services. Like, for example, you know, if cost isn't an issue, you can actually have a casket for your pet's body or their ashes to take home in a box with a plaque on it. If your dog has died, you also need to remember to tell the DCC of the death, because they'll cancel the registration and they'll refund you the unused portion of the registration. Something else is that sometimes you might see livestock wandering about on roads. So livestock owners are required to control their animals at all times and to make sure their property is properly fenced. So if you see, if a stock has wandered onto your private land, the council is not required actually to collect or impound the stock, but they may be able to help you locate the owners so the animal can be collected. But if you come across livestock, such as cattle, sheep or other farmed animals wandering on a road, the first thing probably to do is go to the nearest house and tell them. If the neighbour is a farmer, they will probably be able to get to help get them off the road and secure them. And the council may then be able to help locate the owner to come and get the animals. If there are no nearby houses or passing farmers to help you, then you should contact the police. Call 111 if the animals are causing or will, you know, potentially cause an emergency. You don't want anyone coming around a corner and, you know, there's an animal in the middle of the road. Or you can dial *555 from your mobile phone if the livestock do not present any immediate risk. If the livestock are on a local road, contact the DCC 477-4000. If the livestock are on a state highway, you would contact Waka Kotahi on 0800-444-449. And if livestock have wandered onto private land, they should be confined, you know, on your own land, and the owner informed. It's against the law to actually release or drive the animals off your property and onto the road or public land. And council staff do actually have the right to impound livestock found wandering on public roads and public land. If your vehicle is damaged by wandering livestock, you may be able to get compensation. Generally, the owner is liable for any damage their animals cause on other people's properties. If their livestock cause a traffic accident and it's proven that the owner did not meet their legal obligations, they can actually be prosecuted and held liable for any damage. If you have comprehensive motor vehicle insurance cover, not just third party, then you can make a claim and your insurer will try and recoup the repair costs from the animal owner. So it's always good to find out who owns the animals. The council animal control officer or the police may be able to help you with that. If you're uninsured and the farmer who owns the animal is insured, you may be able to get compensation through the farmer's insurance. The farmer is also uninsured, you'll have to deal with the animal owner directly yourself rather than through their insurer. And if you want to keep livestock on your urban property, you need to check the rules with the DCC. If you have livestock on your property, you need to talk with your neighbour about what you can both do to prevent animals from straying onto the other's property. And this might include maintaining the boundary fence you share, which you both have equal responsibilities to maintain. So chickens might be something you're considering. So, like, you know, obviously it's an attractive option to help reduce food costs. But, you know, you've got to remember that having chickens can have an impact on your neighbours. So it's always really, it's a really good idea to talk to them about your decision and, you know, just get their approval and, you know, then you can actually try to address any concerns they might have about noise or smells or wandering chickens, etc., before you actually go ahead with it and get them on your side. And, you know, it may be that you give them free eggs every now and then. They might be more inclined to be, you know, approve of your project or be happy to support it. So you do not need permission to keep chickens in Dunedin. However, you can only have up to 6 without needing a permit, as long as they don't cause problems for neighbours. Roosters are actually banned in Dunedin's residential areas unless you get permission from the DCC. That's the Dunedin City Council. This rule helps stop noise complaints from roosters crowing in the morning. if you live in a residential area and want to keep a rooster, you'll need to apply and prove that there have been no past noise issues. This rule doesn't apply if you're living outside residential areas. So where you put your chicken coop matters, you know, to avoid bothering your neighbours. Don't put the coop right next to someone's home or outdoor area. Make sure it's in a spot where smells and noise won't be an issue. And choose a well-drained area to avoid standing water and, you know, water that's not moving, which can attract mosquitoes and things, breeding ground for bugs, and also health risks. So keeping your chicken coop clean is obviously very important, and you need to, it needs to be done regularly to, again, to prevent smells and keep your chickens healthy. Should clean the coop at least once a week, and use things like hay or wood chips or newspaper as bedding, and change it often. And don't place egg nests under the perches. That stops poos dropping on the eggs, chicken droppings dropping on the eggs. Don't leave extra food or bedding waste lying around, because that can actually attract rats, mice, and flies. You can get, vermin-proof, like rat and mice-proof feeders that keep the food dry and only scatter food when the chickens will eat it right away. So there's not stuff lying around that the rats and mice will be attracted to. So if rat, and you know, be aware that if rats or mice find food, they'll keep coming back. You know, which can cause health problems for your chickens and your family. So if you follow those simple tips, you can keep your chickens healthy and happy, and your neighbours happy, and your neighbourhood free of unwanted smells and pests. And actually, the SPCA on their website has more help. www.spca.nz. Something else that people might consider is getting a beehive in their backyard. So keeping bees in a residential area or residential areas is something that needs to be carried out in an informed and careful way. Again, to minimise the risk to people, particularly from getting stung. So if you want to keep bees in a residential area, it's actually recommended that you view the Apiculture New Zealand website for advice and assistance, and that is apinz.org.nz, and then there's a section on new to beekeeping. So, yep, have a really good look through that. But once you have a hive, there are some rules that you must follow, and that is, firstly, you've got to register your hive. And that's on afb.org.nz, and then go to the form section. So that's afb.org.nz forms. You have to inspect your hive for destructive diseases each year. And this involves getting a certificate of inspection each year, which you can read about on that website I just gave you. And you must use movable frame hives so they can be inspected. And you must not import bees. Raw bee products or used beekeeping equipment from overseas. You'll find this info in the CAB article, Am I Allowed to Put Beehives on My Property? If your neighbour has a problem with you having bees, the best course of action is to talk to them. Really, about how you can minimise the nuisance of your bees. Because, you know, any time you have animals of any sort, it's always good to keep your relationship with your neighbour good, because there's going to be issues come up in your lifetime living next to them, and you want to keep them on side. So, again, you know, same with the chicken coop, you wouldn't keep the hives next to your neighbour's boundary. You've just got to be really mindful of other people. If the issue, you know, cannot be resolved between you and your neighbour, again, you would have to contact the DCC on 477 4000. And just remember, yeah, we have quite a number of articles on our website relating to all that information that we've just discussed tonight, such as how do I report potential cruelty or neglect of an animal. And just remember, this is on our website, www.cab.org.nz. So it's full of all these articles about your rights under the law and, yeah, your obligations, responsibilities about various things. So, and they're all written in plain English, so there's no jargon or legal speak. They're easy to understand. They've been fact-checked, so you know what you're reading is credible and accurate information. And also any external links that might come from any of these articles, you know that, again, that's going to go to a credible website too. So you can trust what you're reading. So, yeah, again, so some of the articles are like, how do I report potential cruelty or neglect of an animal? Can I bring an animal onto public transport with me is another article. What should I do if I see wandering stock? Another article is, what should I do if I see a child or an animal locked in a car on their own? Another one is, do I need to get permission to keep chickens in my backyard? And another one, as we discussed earlier about pet remains, is, what should I do with the remains of my deceased pet? So, yeah, go take a look through those and you'll find most of that information that's been discussed tonight. And you can just sit and read it in your own time. But just remember that you can also contact CAB here in Dunedin to ask about any of these things if you're unsure, if you just want something clarified that you've read. But you can also contact us about absolutely anything else that you need help with, no matter how big or small, if you're just unsure how to find the answer you're looking for. So you can call us directly here on 471 6166. That comes directly through the Dunedin office. We also have a nationwide free phone number, 0800 367 222. But just be aware that that might be answered anywhere in the country. But if like you don't have any credit on your phone, you can't contact us directly. You can ask whoever answers that 0800 number. You can say, can you please pass my number? Can you please contact Dunedin and pass my phone number on to them and get them to ring me so that other CAB that you get hold of will ring us and pass on your number with your consent, and then we can call you back. If you get a phone message, it means that we're just really busy with other clients, and we will get back to you as soon as we can. So the other way to get hold of us is to email us via our website, through an online inquiry form. And that's, again, on our website, www.cab.org.nz, and it's on the yellow ribbon. You'll find a few drop-downs, find a CAB, and then contact us. And you can also call in at 155 Princes Street. But it's always actually a good idea just to ring first, because, again, we might have other clients we're dealing with and you might end up waiting for a while. So if you just call at the start of a shift, like either 10:15 or 1:15, except Fridays because we only have a morning shift, and just say to the volunteers on, is it a good time to come in? You know, they might be able to they'll just tell you what's going on at that time, and whether maybe just come in half an hour, or they'll say, yep, come in now. That's perfect. Yeah, so just call us first, 471-6166. So, yeah, our hours are Monday to Thursday. We always open at 10 and we close at 4 p.m. sharp. So if you are going to come in, it's always a good idea to come in earlier at the start of a shift rather than when we're about to close. So we have all the time we need to help you. And Friday, like we said, we're open at 10 and we close at 1. So ngā mihi ki a koutou for tuning in this evening. And Otago Access Radio for hosting us. Kia pai te pō. Have a good evening.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.